Pornography, colloquially known as porn or porno, is sexual subject material such as a picture, video, text, or audio that is intended for sexual arousal. Made for consumption by adults, pornographic depictions have evolved from cave paintings some 40 millennia ago to modern virtual reality presentations. A general distinction of adults-only sexual content is made, classifying it as pornography or erotica. The oldest artifacts considered pornographic were discovered in Germany in 2008 and are dated to be at least 35,000 years old. Throughout the history of erotic depictions, various people made attempts to suppress them under obscenity laws, censor, or make them illegal. Such grounds, and even the definition of pornography, have differed in various historical, cultural, and national contexts. The Indian Sanskrit text Kama Sutra, 3rd century CE, contained prose, poetry, and illustrations regarding sexual behavior, and the book was celebrated, while the British-English text Fanny Hill, 1748, considered the first original English prose pornography, has been one of the most prosecuted and banned books. In the late 19th century, a film by Thomas Edison that depicted a kiss was denounced as obscene in the United States, whereas Eugene Pierre's 1896 film Bedtime for the Bride was received very favorably in France. Starting from the mid-20th century on, societal attitudes towards sexuality became more lenient in the Western world, where legal definitions of obscenity were made limited. In 1969, Blue Movie by Andy Warhol became the first film to depict unsimulated sex that received a wide theatrical release in the United States. This was followed by the Golden Age of Porn, 1969 to 1984. The introduction of home video and the World Wide Web in the late 20th century led to global growth in the pornography business. Beginning in the 21st century, greater access to the internet and affordable smartphones made pornography more mainstream. Pornography has been vouched to provision a safe outlet for sexual desires that may not be satisfied within relationships and be a facilitator of sexual fulfillment in people who do not have a partner. It has been equated with journalism, as both offer a view into the unknown or the hidden aspects. Pornography use is considered a widespread recreational activity in line with other digitally mediated activities, such as use of social media or video games. Motivations for pornography use may include fantasy, habitual use, mood management, or as part of a relationship. People who regard porn as sex education material were identified as more likely not to use condoms in their own sex life, thereby assuming a higher risk of contracting sexually transmitted infections, STIs. Performers working for pornographic studios undergo regular testing for STIs, unlike much of the general public. Comparative studies indicate higher tolerance and consumption of pornography among adults tends to be associated with their greater support for gender equality. Among feminist groups, some seek to abolish pornography, believing it to be harmful, while others oppose censorship efforts, insisting it is benign. A longitudinal study had ascertained that pornography use is not a predictive factor in intimate partner violence. Porn Studies, which began in 2014, is the first international peer-reviewed, academic journal dedicated to critical study of products and services deemed pornographic. Pornography is a major influencer of people's perception of sex in the digital age. Numerous pornographic websites rank among the top 50 most visited websites worldwide. Called an erotic engine, pornography has been noted for its key role in the development of various communication and media processing technologies. For being an early adopter of innovations and as a provider of financial capital, the pornography industry has been cited to be a contributing factor in the adoption and popularization of media-related technologies. The accurate economic size of the porn industry in the early 21st century is unknown. In 2015, estimates of the worldwide market value stood at $97 billion U.S. dollars, with the U.S. revenue valued at $10 to $12 billion. The U.S. revenue was estimated to have reached at least $3.3 billion U.S. dollars in 2020. Pornography in Japan was estimated to be worth over $20 billion in 2018. The legality of pornography varies across countries. The U.S. pornography industry employs numerous performers along with production and support staff, and has its own industry-specific publications, XBIZ and AVN, a trade association, the Free Speech Coalition, a labor union, adult performer advocacy committee, and award shows, XEIZ Awards, and AVN Awards. From the mid-2010s, unscrupulous pornography such as deepfake pornography and revenge porn have become issues of concern. Etymology and definition. The word pornography is a conglomerate of two ancient Greek words, pyronoumikron, pornos, fornicators, and gamero-phi-epsilon-iot-nu, graphian, writing, recording, or description. In Greek language, the term pornography connotes depiction of sexual activity. No date is known for the first use of the term pornography. The earliest attested, most related word found is pyomicron or pneumicron gamorophiomicron, pornographos, i.e. someone writing about harlots in the 3rd century CE, work Deipnosophists by Athenaeus. The oldest published reference to the word pornography as in New Pornography is dated back to 1638 and is credited to Nathaniel Butter in A History of the Fleet Newspaper Industry. The modern word pornography entered the English language as the more familiar word in 1842 via French pornography, from Greek pornographos. The term porn is an abbreviation of pornography. The related term pyronueta, porn, prostitute in Greek, originally meant bought, purchased similar to pernani to sell, from the Proto-Indo-European root per dash, to hand over, alluding to act of selling. The word pornography was originally used by classical scholars as a bookish and therefore inoffensive term for writing about prostitutes, but its meaning was quickly expanded to include all forms of objectionable or obscene material in art and literature. In 1864, Webster's Dictionary published a licentious painting as the meaning for pornography, and the Oxford English Dictionary, Obscene Painting, 1842, Description of Obscene Matters, Obscene Publication, 1977 or earlier. Definitions for the term pornography are varied, with people from both pro- and anti-pornography groups defining it either favorably or unfavorably, thus making any definition very stipulative. Nevertheless, academic researchers have defined pornography as sexual subject material such as a picture, video, text, or audio that is primarily intended to assist sexual arousal in the consumer and is created and commercialized with the consent of all persons involved. Arousal is considered the primary objective, the raison d'etre a material must fulfill for it to be treated as pornographic. As some people can feel aroused by an image that is not meant for sexual arousal and, conversely, cannot feel aroused by material that is clearly intended for arousal, the material that can be considered as pornography becomes subjective. Pornography throughout history. Pornography from ancient times. Pornography is viewed by historians as a complex cultural formation. Depictions of a sexual nature existed since prehistoric times, as seen in Venus figurines and rock art. People across various civilizations created works that depicted explicit sex. These include artifacts, music, poetry, and murals, among other things that are often intertwined with religious and supernatural themes. The oldest artifacts, including the Venus of Hohle Fels, which is considered to be borderline pornographic, were discovered in 2008 CE at a cave near Stuttgart in Germany. Radiocarbon dating suggests they are at least 35,000 years old, from the Aurig Nation period. Vast number of artifacts discovered in ancient Mesopotamia region had explicit depictions of heterosexual sex. Glyptic art from the Sumerian early dynastic period frequently showed scenes of frontal sex in the missionary position. In Mesopotamian votive plaques from the early 2nd millennium, c. 2000, c. 1500 BCE, a man is usually shown penetrating a woman from behind while she bends over drinking beer through a straw. Middle Assyrian lead votive figurines often portrayed a man standing and penetrating a woman as she rests on an altar. Scholars have traditionally interpreted all these depictions as scenes of hieros gamos, an ancient sacred marriage between a god and a goddess, but they are more likely to be associated with Inanna, the Mesopotamian goddess of sex and sacred prostitution. Many sexually explicit images, including models of male and female sexual organs, were found in the temple of Inanna at Assur. Depictions of sexual intercourse were not part of the general repertory of ancient Egyptian formal art, but rudimentary sketches of heterosexual intercourse have been found on pottery fragments and in graffiti. The final two-thirds of the Turin Erotic Papyrus, Papyrus 55001, an Egyptian papyrus scroll discovered at Deir el-Medina, consists of a series of 12 vignettes showing men and women in various sexual positions. The scroll was probably painted in the Ramesside period, 1292 to 1075 BCE, and its high artistic quality indicates that it was produced for a wealthy audience. No other similar scrolls have yet been discovered. Archaeologist Nikolaos Stamboulidis had noted that the society of ancient Greece held lenient attitudes towards sexual representation in the fields of art and literature. The Greek poet Sappho's Ode to Aphrodite, 600 BCE, is considered an earliest example of lesbian poetry. Red figure pottery invented in Greece, 530 BCE, often portrayed images that displayed eroticism. The 5th century BC comic Aristophanes elaborated 106 ways of describing the male genitalia and in 91 ways the female genitalia. Lysistrata, 411 BCE, is a sex war comedy play performed in ancient Greece. In India, Hinduism embraced an inquisitive attitude toward sex as an art and a spiritual ideal. Some ancient Hindu temples incorporated various aspects of sexuality into their artwork. The temples at Khajuraho and Konark are particularly renowned for their sculptures, which had detailed representations of human sexual activity. These depictions were viewed with a spiritual outlook, as sexual arousal is believed to indicate the embodying of the divine. Pornography is sometimes characterized as the symptom of a degenerate society, but anyone even noddingly familiar with Greek vases or statues on ancient Hindu temples will know that so-called unnatural sex acts, orgies, and all manner of complex liaisons have for millennia past been represented in art for the pleasure and inspiration of the viewer everywhere. The desire to ponder images of lovemaking is clearly innate in the human, perhaps particularly the male, psyche. Tom Hodgkinson, comma, the word used to connote sexual desire, was explored in Indian literary works such as the Kama Sutra, which dealt with the practical as well as the psychological aspects of human courtship and sexual intercourse. The Sanskrit text Kama Sutra was compiled by the sage Vatsyayana into its final form sometime during the second half of the 3rd century CE. This text, which included prose, poetry, as well as illustrations regarding erotic love and sexual behavior, is one of the most celebrated Indian erotic works. Koka Shastra is another medieval Indian work that explored Kama. Other examples of early art and literature of sexual nature include Ars Amatoria, Art of Love, a 2nd century CE treatise on the art of seduction and sensuality by the Roman poet Ovid, the artifacts of the Moche people in Peru, 100 CE to 800 CE, the Decameron, a collection of short stories, some of which are sexual in nature, by the 14th century Italian author Giovanni Boccaccio, and the 15th century Arabic sex manual, The Perfumed Garden. Pornography from early modern era. A highly developed culture of visual erotica flourished in Japan during the early modern era. From at least the 17th century, erotic artworks became part of the mainstream social culture. Depictions of sexual intercourse were often presented on pictures that were meant to provide sex education for medical professionals, courtesans, and married couples. Makuri, pillow pictures, were made for entertainment as well as for the guidance of married couples. The 9th century Japanese art form shunga that depicted sexual acts on woodblock prints and paintings became so popular by the 18th century that the Japanese government began to issue official edicts against them. Even so, Japanese erotica flourished with the works of artists such as Suzuki Hironobu achieving worldwide fame. Japanese censorship laws enacted in 1870 made the production of erotic works difficult. The laws remained in effect until the end of the Pacific War in 1945. Nevertheless, pornography flourished through the sale of erotic, grotesque, nonsense, erogiro nansensu periodicals, particularly in the Taisho era, 1912 to 1926. From the 1960s, pink films, which portrayed sexual themes, became popular in Japan. In 1980, one, the first Japanese adult video, AV, was released. The Japanese pornography industry peaked in the early 2000s when about 30,000 AVs were made a year. From the mid-2010s, increased availability of free porn on the internet led to a decline in the production of AVs. Other forms of adult entertainment, such as hentai, which refers to pornographic manga and anime, and erotic video games, have become popular in recent decades. In Europe, the Italian Renaissance work from the 16th century, I Modi, The Ways, also known as the 16 Pleasures, became famous for its engravings that explicitly depicted sex positions. The publication of this book was considered the beginning of print pornography in Rome. The second edition of this book was published in 1527, titled Aretino Postures, which combined erotic images with text, a first in the Western culture. The Vatican called for the complete destruction of all the copies of the book and imprisonment of its author Marcantonio Raimondi. With the development of printing press in Europe, the publication of written and visual material, which was essentially pornographic, began. Heptameron, written in French by Marguerite de Navarre and published posthumously in 1558, is one of the earliest examples of salacious texts from this era. Beginning with the Age of Enlightenment and advances in printing technology, the production of erotic material became popular enough that an underground marketplace for such works developed in England, with a separate publishing and bookselling business. Historians have identified the 18th century as an age of pornographic opulence. Written by anonymous authors, the titles The Progress of Nature, 1744, The History of the Human Heart, or The Adventures of a Young Gentleman, 1749, which had descriptions of female ejaculation, and The Child of Nature, 1774, have been noted as prominent pornographic fictional works from this period. The book Fanny Hill, 1748, is considered the first original English prose pornography and the first pornography to use the form of the novel. An erotic literary work by John Cleland, Fanny Hill was first published in England as Memoirs of a Woman of Pleasure. The novel has been one of the most prosecuted and banned books in history. The author John Cleland was charged for corrupting the king's subjects. At around the same time, erotic graphic art that began to be extensively produced in Paris came to be known in the Anglosphere as French postcards. Enlightenment-era France had been noted by historians as the center of origin for modern-era pornography. The works of French pornography, which often concentrated on the education of an ingenue into libertine, dominated the sale of sexually explicit content. The French sought to interlace narratives of sexual pleasure with philosophical and anti-establishment basis. Political pornography began with the French Revolution, 1789-99. Apart from the sexual component, pornography became a popular medium for protest against the social and political norms of the time. Pornography during this period was used to explore the ideas of sexual freedom for women and men, the various methods of contraception, and to expose the offenses of powerful royals and elites. The working and lower classes in France produced pornographic material en masse with themes of infancy, incest, and orgies that ridiculed the authority of the church state, aristocrats, priests, monks, and other royalty. One of the most important authors of socially radical pornography was the French aristocrat Marquis de Sade, 1740-1814, whose name helped derive the words sadism and sadist. He advocated libertine sexuality and published writings that were critical of authorities, many of which contained pornographic content. His work Justine, 1791, interlaced orgiastic scenes along with extensive debates on the ills of property and traditional hierarchy in society. From the Roman era, when large-scale archaeological excavations were undertaken in the ancient Roman city of Pompeii during the 18th century, much of the erotic art in Pompeii and Herculaneum came to light, shocking the authorities who endeavored to hide them away from the general public. In 1821, the movable objects were locked away in the secret museum in Naples, and what could not be removed was either covered or cordoned off from public view. During the Victorian era, 1837-1901, the invention of the rotary printing press made publication of books easier. Many works of lascivious nature were published during this period, often under pen names or anonymity. In 1837, the Holywell Street, known as Booksellers Row, in London had more than 50 shops that sold pornographic material. Many of the works published in the Victorian era are considered bold and graphic even by today's lenient standards. The English novel The Adventures, Intrigues, and Amours of a Lady's Maid, written by Anonymous herself, see 1838, profess the notion that homosexual acts are more pleasurable for women than heterosexuality, which is linked to painful and uncomfortable experiences. Some of the popular publications from this era include The Pearl, magazine of erotic tales and poems published from 1879 to 1881, Gamiani, or Two Nights of Excess, 1870, by Alfred de Musset, and Venus in Furs, 1870, by Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, from whose name the term masochism was derived. The Sins of the Cities of the Plain, 1881, is one of the first sole male homosexual literary work published in English. This work is said to have inspired another gay literary work, Teleny, or The Reverse of the Medal, 1893, whose authorship has often been attributed to Oscar Wilde. The Romance of Lust, written anonymously and published in four volumes during 1873 to 1876, contained graphical descriptions of themes detailing incest, homosexuality, and orgies. Other publications from the Victorian era that included fetish and taboo themes such as sadomasochism and cross-generational sex are My Secret Life, 1888 to 1894, and Forbidden Fruit, 1898. On accusations of obscenity, many of these works had been outlawed until the 1960s. Criminalization. The English Act. The world's first law that criminalized pornography was the English Obscene Publications Act 1857, enacted at the urging of the Society for the Suppression of Vice. The act passed by the British Parliament in 1857 applied to the United Kingdom and Ireland. The act made the sale of obscene material a statutory offense and gave the authorities the power to seize and destroy any material which they considered as obscene. For centuries before, sexually explicit material was considered a domain that is exclusive to aristocratic classes. When pornographic material flourished in the Victorian-era England, the affluent classes believed they are sensible enough to deal with it, unlike the lower working classes whom they thought would get distracted by such material and cease to be productive. Beliefs that masturbation would make people ill, insane, or become blind also flourished. The Obscenity Act gave government officials the power to interfere in the private lives of people unlike any other law before. Some of the people suspected for masturbation were forced to wear chastity devices. Cures and treatment for masturbation involved such measures like giving electric shock and applying carbolic acid to the clitoris. The law was criticized for being established on still, yet unproven claims that sexual material is noxious for people or public health. The American Act. In 1865, the U.S. Postal Service was seen as a vehicle for the transmission of materials that were deemed obscene by the American lawmakers. An act relating to the postal services was passed, which made people pay a fine of $500 for knowingly mailing any obscene book, pamphlet, picture print, or other publication. From 1865 to up until the first 3 months of 1872, a total number of 9 people were held for various charges of obscenity, with one person sentenced to prison for a year, while in the next 10 months, 15 people were arrested under this law. This was partly due to the efforts of Anthony Comstock, who became a major figure in 1872 and held great power to control sexual-related activities of people, including the choice of abortion. The Comstock Act of 1873 is the American equivalent of the English Obscene Act. The Anti-Obscenity Bill, drafted by Anthony Comstock, was debated for less than an hour in the U.S. Congress before being passed into law. Apart from the power to seize and destroy any material alleged to be obscene, the law made it possible for the authorities to make arrests over any perceived act of obscenity, which included possession of contraceptives by married couples. Reportedly in the U.S., 15 tons of books and 4 million pictures were destroyed, and about 15 people were driven to suicide with 4,000 arrests. At least 55 people whom Comstock identified as abortionists got indicted under the Comstock Act. Steps towards liberalization. The laws regarding pornography have differed in various historical, cultural, and national contexts. The English Act did not apply to Scotland, where the common law continued to apply. Before the English Act, publication of obscene material was treated as a common law misdemeanor. This made effectively prosecuting authors and publishers difficult even in cases where the material was clearly intended as pornography. However, neither the English nor the United States Act defined what constituted obscene, leaving this for the courts to determine. For implementing the Comstock Act, the U.S. courts used the British Hicklin test to define obscenity, the definition of which was first proposed in 1868, 10 years after the passing of the English Obscene Act. The definition became cemented in 1896 and continued until the mid-20th century. Starting from 1957 to 1997, the U.S. Supreme Court made numerous judgments that redefined obscenity. The 19th century legislation eventually outlawed the publication, retail, and trafficking of certain writings and images that were deemed pornographic. Although laws ordered the destruction of shop and warehouse stock meant for sale, the private possession and viewing of some forms of pornography was not made an offense until the 20th century. Historians have explored the role of pornography in determining social norms. The Victorian attitude that pornography was only for a select few is seen in the wording of the Hicklin test, stemming from a court case in 1868, where it asked whether the tendency of the matter charged as obscenity is to deprave and corrupt those whose minds are open to such immoral influences. Although officially prohibited, the sale of sexual material nevertheless continued through under-the-counter means. Magazines specializing in a genre called saucy and spicy became popular during this time, 1896 to 1955. Titles of few popular magazines include Wink, A Whirl of Girls, Flirt, A Fresh Magazine, and Snappy. Cover stories in these magazines featured segments such as pokey pinups and high heel cuties. Some of the popular erotic literary works from the 20th century include the novels Story of the Eye, 1928, Tropic of Cancer, 1934, Tropic of Capricorn, 1938, The French Histoire d'Io, Story of O, 1954, and the short stories, Delta of Venus, 1977, and Little Birds, 1979. Invention of photography and filmography. After the invention of photography, the birth of erotic photography followed. The oldest surviving image of a pornographic photo is dated back to about 1846, described as to depict a rather solemn man gingerly inserting his penis into the vagina of an equally solemn and middle-aged woman. At one point of time, it was more expensive to purchase an erotic photograph than to hire a prostitute. The Parisian demi-monde included Napoleon III's minister, Charles de Morny, an early patron who delighted in acquiring and displaying erotic photos at large gatherings. Pornographic film production commenced almost immediately after the invention of the motion picture in 1895. A pioneer of the motion picture camera, Thomas Edison, released various films, including The Kiss, that were denounced as obscene in late 19th century America. Two of the earliest pioneers of pornographic films were Eugene Pirou and Albert Kirchner. Kirchner directed the earliest surviving pornographic film for Pirou under the trade name Lear. The 1896 film, Le Coucher de l'Amourie, showed Louise Willie performing a striptease. Pirou's film inspired a genre of risque French films that showed women disrobing, and other filmmakers realized profits could be made from such films. Legalization. Sexually explicit films opened producers and distributors to be liable for prosecution. Such films were produced illicitly by amateurs, starting in the 1920s, primarily in France and the United States. Processing the film was risky, as was their distribution, which was strictly private. In the Western world, during the 1960s, social attitudes towards sex and pornography slowly changed. In 1967, Denmark repealed the obscenity laws on literature. This led to a decline in the sale of pornographic and erotic literature. Hoping for a similar effect, in the summer of 1969, legislators in Denmark abolished censorship on picture pornography, thereby effectively becoming, from July 1, 1969, the first country that legalized pornography, including child pornography, which was later prohibited in 1980. The 1969 legislation, instead of resulting in a decline in pornography production, led to an explosion of investment in and commercial production of pornography in Denmark, which made the country's name synonymous with sex and pornography. The total retail turnover of pornography in Denmark for the year 1969 was estimated at $50 million. Much of the pornographic material produced in Denmark was smuggled into other countries around the world. In the United States, pornography is protected by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution unless it constitutes obscenity or child pornography that is produced with real children.
Nevertheless, in Stanley Petty,
Georgia, 1969, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of an adult to possess obscene material in private. Subsequently, however, the Supreme Court rejected the claim that under Stanley, there is a constitutional right to provide obscene material for private use or to acquire it for private use. The right to possess obscene material does not imply the right to provide or acquire it, because the right to possess it reflects no more than the law's solicitude to protect the privacies of the life within. In 1969, Blue Movie by Andy Warhol became the first feature film to depict explicit sexual intercourse that received a wide public theatrical release in the United States. Blue Movie was real, but it wasn't done as pornography. It was done as an exercise, an experiment. But I really do think movies should arouse you, should get you excited about people, should be prurient. Prurience is part of the machine. It keeps you happy. It keeps you running. Andy Warhol. Film scholar Linda Williams remarked that prurience is a key term in any discussion of moving image sex since the 60s. Often it is the interest to which no one wants to own up. In 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America created a new film rating system in which any film that was not approved by the association was released with an X rating. When pornographers began to release their productions with the rating X, the association adopted NC-17 rating for adults-only films, leaving the X rating to pornography. Later, the invented gimmick rating XXX became a standard for pornographic material. Commissions and their findings. In 1970, the United States President's Commission on Obscenity and Pornography, set up to study the effects of pornography, reported that there was no evidence to date that exposure to explicit sexual materials plays a significant role in the causation of delinquent or criminal behavior among youths or adults. The report further recommended against placing any restriction on the access of pornography by adults and suggested that legislation should not seek to interfere with the right of adults who wish to do so to read, obtain, or view explicit sexual materials. Regarding the notion that sexually explicit content is improper, the commission found it inappropriate to adjust the level of adult communication to that considered suitable for children. The Supreme Court supported this view. In 1971, Sweden removed its obscenity clause. Further relaxation of legislations during the early 1970s in the U.S., West Germany, and other countries led to rise in pornography production. The 1970s had been described by Linda Williams as the classical era of theatrically exhibited porn, a time period now called the Golden Age of Porn. In 1979, the British Committee on Obscenity and Film Censorship, better known as the Williams Committee, formed to review the laws concerning obscenity, reported that pornography could not be harmful, and to think anything else is to see pornography out of proportion. The committee declared that existing variety of laws in the field should be scrapped, and so long as it is prohibited from children, adults should be free to consume pornography as they see fit. The Meese report in 1986 argued against loosening restrictions on pornography in the U.S. The report was criticized as biased, inaccurate, and not credible. In 1988, the Supreme Court of California ruled in the People v. Freeman case that filming sexual activity for sale does not amount to procuring or prostitution and shall be given protection under the First Amendment. This ruling effectively legalized the production of X-rated adult content in the Los Angeles County, which by 2005 had emerged as the largest center in the world for the production of pornographic films. Pornographic films appeared throughout the 20th century. First as stag films, 1900-1940s, then as porn loops or short films for peep shows, 1960s, followed by as feature films for theatrical release in adult movie theaters, 1970s, and as home videos, 1980s. Role of magazines in legalization. Pornographic magazines published during the mid-20th century have been noted for playing an important role in the sexual revolution and the liberalization of laws and attitudes towards sexual representation in the Western world. Hugh Hefner, in 1953, published the first U.S. issue of The Playboy, a magazine which, as Hefner described, is a handbook for the urban male. The magazine contained images of nude women along with articles and interviews covering politics and culture. 12 years later, in 1965, Bob Guccione in the UK started his publication Penthouse and published its first American issue in 1969 as a direct competitor to Playboy. In its early days, the images of naked women published in Playboy did not show any pubic hair or genitals. Penthouse became the first magazine to show pubic hair in 1970. Playboy followed the lead, and there ensued a competition between the two magazines over publication of more racy pictures, a contest that eventually got labeled as the Pubic Wars. We were the first to show full frontal nudity, the first to expose the clitoris completely. I think we made a very serious contribution to the liberalization of laws and attitudes. HBO would not have gone as far as it does if it was not for us breaking the barriers. Much that has happened now in the Western world with respect to sexual advances is directly due to steps that we took. Bob Guccione, Penthouse founder, in 2004. The tussle between Playboy and Penthouse paled into obscurity when Larry Flint started Hustler, which became the first magazine to publish labial pink shots in 1974. Hustler projected itself as the magazine for the working classes as opposed to the urban-centered Playboy and Penthouse. During the same time in 1972, Helen Gurley Brown, editor of the Cosmopolitan magazine, published a centerfold that featured actor Burt Reynolds in nude. His popular pose has been later emulated by many other famous people. The success of Cosmo led to the launch of Playgirl in 1973. At their peak, Playboy sold close to 6 million copies a month in the US, while Penthouse nearly 5 million. In the 2010s, as the market for printed versions of pornographic magazines declined, with Playboy selling about 1 million and Penthouse about 100,000, many magazines became online publications. As of 2005, the best-selling U.S. adult magazines maintained greater reach compared to most other non-pornographic magazines and often ranked among top sellers. Modern-day pornography. Modern-day pornography began to take shape from the mid-1980s when the first desktop computers and public computer networks were released. Since the 1990s, the internet has made pornography more accessible and culturally visible. Before the 90s, Usenet newsgroup served as the base for what has been called the amateur revolution, where non-professionals from the late 1980s and early 1990s, with the help of digital cameras and the internet, created and distributed their own pornographic content independent of mainstream networks. The use of the World Wide Web became popular with the introduction of Netscape Navigator in 1994. This development led to newer methods of pornography distribution and consumption. The internet turned out to be a popular source for pornography and was called the AAA engine for offering consumers anonymity, affordability, and accessibility, while driving the business of pornography. The notion of internet being a medium abound with porn became popular enough that in 1995 Time published a cover story titled Cyberporn with the face of a shocked child as the cover photo. In the Reno v. ACLU 1997 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the legality of pornography distribution and consumption by adults over the internet. The court noted that government may not reduce the communication between adults to only what is fit for children. With the introduction of broadband connections, much of the distribution networks of pornography moved online, giving consumers anonymous access to a wide range of pornographic material. To have better control over their content on the internet, some professional pornographers maintain their own websites. Danny's Hard Drive, started in 1995 by Danny Ash, is considered one of the earliest online pornographic websites, coded by Ash, a former stripper and nude model. The website was reported by CNN to have generated revenues of $6.5 million by 2000. According to some leading pornography providers on the internet, customer subscription rates for a website would be about 1 in 1,000 people who visit the site for a monthly fees averaging around $20. Ash said in an interview that her website employs 45 people and she expects to earn $8 million in 2001 alone. The total number of pornographic websites in 2000 were estimated to be more than 60,000. The development of streaming sites, peer-to-peer file sharing, P2P networks, and tube sites led to a subsequent decline in the sale of DVDs and adult magazines. Starting in the 21st century, greater access to the internet and affordable smartphones made pornography more accessible and culturally mainstream. The total number of pornographic websites in 2012 was estimated to be around 25 million, comprising 12% of all the websites. About 75% of households in the U.S. gained internet access by 2012. Data from 2015 suggests an increase in pornography consumption over the past few decades, which is attributed to the growth of internet pornography. Technological advancements such as digital cameras, laptops, smartphones, and Wi-Fi have democratized the production and consumption of pornography. Subscription-based service providers such as OnlyFans, founded in 2016, are becoming popular as the platforms for pornography trade in the digital era. Apart from the professional pornographers, content creators on such platforms include others like a physics teacher, a race car driver, a woman undergoing cancer treatment. In 2022, the total pornographic content accessible online was estimated to be over 10,000 terabytes. AVN and XBIZ are the industry-specific organizations based in the U.S. that provide information about the adult entertainment business. XBIZ Awards and AVN Awards, analogous to the Golden Globes and Oscars, are the two prominent award shows of the adult entertainment industry. Free Speech Coalition, FSC, is a trade association, and Adult Performer Advocacy Committee, APAC, is a labor union for the adult entertainment industry based in the U.S., UK, as well as in Australia. In most of Southeast Asia, Middle East, and China, the production, distribution, and/or possession of pornography is illegal and outlawed. In Russia and Ukraine, webcam modeling is allowed provided it contains no explicit performances. In other parts of the world, commercial webcamming is banned as a form of pornography. Disseminating pornography to a minor is generally illegal. There are various measures to restrict minors any access to pornography, including protocols for pornographic stores. Pornography can infringe into basic human rights of those involved, especially when sexual consent was not obtained. Revenge porn is a phenomenon where disgruntled sexual partners release images or video footage of intimate sexual activity of their partners, usually on the internet, without authorization or consent of the individuals involved. In many countries, there has been a demand to make such activities specifically illegal, carrying higher punishments than mere breach of privacy or image rights or circulation of prurient material. As a result, some jurisdictions have enacted specific laws against revenge porn. What is not pornography? In the U.S., a July 2014 criminal case decision in Massachusetts, Commonwealth v. Rex, 469 Massachusetts, 36, 2014, made a legal determination as to what was not to be considered pornography, and in this particular case, child pornography. It was determined that photographs of naked children that were from sources such as National Geographic magazine, a sociology textbook, and a nudist catalog were not considered pornography in Massachusetts, even while in the possession of a convicted and, at the time, incarcerated sex offender. Drawing the line depends on time, place, and context. Occidental mainstream culture has been increasingly getting pornified, i.e., influenced by pornographic themes, with mainstream films often including unsimulated sexual acts. Since the very definition of pornography is subjective, material that is considered erotic or even religious in one society may be denounced as pornography in another. When European travelers visited India in the 19th century, they were dismayed at the religious representation of sexuality on the Hindu temples and deemed them as pornographic. Similarly, many films and television programs that are unobjectionable in contemporary Western societies are labeled as pornography in Muslim societies. Thus, assessing a material as pornography is very much personalized. To rehash a cliche, pornography is very much in the eye of the beholder. Copyright status. In the United States, some courts have applied U.S. copyright protection to pornographic materials. Some courts have held that copyright protection effectively applies to works, whether they are obscene or not, but not all courts have ruled the same way. The copyright protection rights of pornography in the United States has again been challenged as late as February 2012. STIs prevention and safer sex practices. Performers working for pornographic film studios undergo regular testing for sexually transmitted infections, STIs, every 2 weeks. They have to test negative for HIV, trichomoniasis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and hepatitis B and C before showing up on a set, and are then inspected for sores on their mouths, hands, and genitals before commencing work. The industry believes this method of testing to be a viable practice for safer sex, as its medical consultants claim that since 2004, about 350,000 pornographic scenes have been filmed without condoms, and HIV has not been transmitted even once because of performance on set. However, some studies suggest that adult film performers have high rates of chlamydia and/or gonorrhea infection, and many of these cases may be missed by industry screening because these bacteria can colonize many sites on the body. In the initial years, studios assessed performers' suitability on the results from their blood and urine tests. According to a 2019 study by the American College of Emergency Physicians, swab tests offer better insight than urine samples for detecting bacterial STIs like chlamydia and gonorrhea. Performers such as Sherry DeVille have emphasized swab tests for safer sex. According to Angela White, a prominent pornography performer, studios won't allow performers to work unless they are completely clean. So for me, because I work so much, I'm testing every 12 days, and that is a full sweep of STIs such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, and trichomoniasis. We're doing throat swabs, vaginal swabs, and anal swabs, she said. Alan Ronald, a Canadian doctor and HIV/AIDS specialist who did groundbreaking studies on the transmission of STIs among prostitutes in Africa, said there's no doubt about the efficiency of the testing method, but he felt a little uncomfortable because it's giving the wrong message that you can have multiple sex partners without condoms, but I can't say it doesn't work. Relatedly, it has been found that individuals who received little sex education and/or perceive pornography as a source of information about sex are less apt to use condoms in their own sex life, making themselves more susceptible to contract STIs. In 2020, the U.S. National Sex Education Standards released recommendations to incorporate porn literacy to students from grades 6 to 12 as part of sex education in the U.S. Veteran performer and former nurse Nina Hartley, who has a degree in nursing, stated that the amount of time involved in shooting a scene can be very long, and with condoms in place it becomes a painful proposition as their usage is uncomfortable despite the use of lube, causes friction burn, and opens up lesions in the genital mucosa. Advocating the testing method for performers, Hartley said, "Testing works for us, and condoms work for outsiders. We're tested every 14 days. That is literally 23 more times than the average American. If that person makes it to their yearly physical, I have met tons of people that haven't been to the doctor in years. That scares me because they have no idea what their status is. I don't hook up with people outside of the porn industry because I'm terrified. And I'm not the only one. There's many performers that know, if you go out into the wild, you will come back with something." Ash Hollywood, porn actress. Emphasizing that performers in the industry take necessary precautions like PrEP and are at lower risk to contract HIV than most sexually active persons outside the industry, many prominent female performers have vehemently opposed regulatory measures like Measure B that sought to make the use of condoms mandatory in pornographic films. Professional female performers have called the use of condoms on a daily basis at work an occupational hazard as they cause microtears, friction burn, swelling, and yeast infections, which altogether, they say, makes them more susceptible to contract STIs. Views on pornography. Pornography has been vouched to provide a safe outlet for sexual desires that may not be satisfied within relationships and be a facilitator of sexual fulfillment in people who cannot or do not want to have real-life partners. Pornography is viewed by people in general for various reasons, varying from a need to enrich their sexual arousal, to facilitate orgasm, as an aid for masturbation, learn about sexual techniques, reduce stress, alleviate boredom, enjoy themselves, see representation of people like themselves, know their sexual orientation, improve their romantic relationships, or simply because their partner wants them to. Pornography is noted for engrossing people on more than masturbatory levels. Aesthetic philosophers argue whether pornographic representations can be considered as expressions of art. Pornography has been equated with journalism as both offer a view into the unknown or the hidden aspects. French philosopher Michel Foucault remarked that it is in pornography that we find information about the hidden, the forbidden, and the taboo. Scholars such as Linda Williams, Jennifer Nash, and Tim Dean believe pornography is a form of thinking comprised with ideas that are way more reflective about sexuality and gender than what the creators or consumers of pornography intend. Pornography has been referred by people as a means to explore their sexuality. People have reported porn being helpful in learning about human sexuality in general. Studies recommend clinical practitioners to use pornography as an instruction aid to show their clients new and alternative sexual behaviors as part of psychosexual therapy. British psychologist Oliver James, known for his work on happiness, stated that a high proportion of men use porn as a distraction or to reduce stress. It serves an antidepressant purpose for the unhappy. Feminist outlook. Overall, Feminist movements in the late 1970s and 1980s dealt with the issues of pornography and sexuality in debates that are referred to as the sex wars. While some feminist groups seek to abolish pornography, believing it to be harmful, other feminist groups oppose censorship efforts, insisting it is benign. A large-scale study of data from the General Social Survey, 2010 to 2018, refuted the argument that pornography is inherently anti-woman or anti-feminist, and that it drives sexism. The study did not find a relationship between pornography viewing and pornography tolerance with higher sexism, a posit that was held by some feminists. It instead found higher pornography consumption and pornography tolerance among men to be associated with their greater support for gender equality. The study concluded that pornography is more likely to be about the sex rather than the sexism. People who supported regulated pornography expressed lesser attitudes of sexism than people who sought to abolish pornography. Notably, non-feminists are found more likely to support a ban on pornography than feminists. Many feminists, both male and female, have reflected that the effects of pornography on society are neutral. Adult users of pornography were found more egalitarian than non-users. They are more likely to hold favorable attitudes towards women in positions of power and in workplaces outside home than the non-users. Critical. A 2016 study authored by Black feminists criticized the American adult entertainment industry for alleged omission and exclusion of Black women in pornographic representations, particularly in the interracial genres. As pornography becomes a kind of manual on how bodies and pleasure can look, and is one of the few places where we see our bodies and other people's bodies, it becomes imperative on pornography to represent variety of forms, stated the feminist scholars. Anti-pornography feminists argue that aesthetics of pornography demote Black women with undertones of racism. Gender studies scholars Mireille Miller-Young and Jennifer Christine Nash, in their writings on intersectionality of race and pornography, noted that Black people have been depicted as being hypersexual and Black women, more objectified. The scholars also noted major discrepancies in pay rates of the performers. White women have historically made 75% more per scene and sometimes still make 50% more compared to Black women. Feminist resentment about pornography tend to focus on two concerns: that pornography depicts violence and aggression, and that pornography objectifies women. Multiple analyses of pornographic videos found that women have been overwhelmingly at the receiving end of aggression from male performers, with the reaction of women being either positive or neutral towards aggression, which is at odds considering a report that found only 14.2% of U.S. adult women find pain during sex as appealing. Two studies in the 1990s found that Black women were the targets of aggression and faced more violence from both Black and white men than did white women. However, more recent research from 2018 found that Black women were the least likely group of women to suffer non-consensual aggression and are more likely to receive affection from their male partners. While Black men engaged in fewer intimate behaviors than white men, white women were found more likely to experience violence during sexual activity with white men than with Black men. Concerning Asian women, a 2016 study based on a sample of 3,053 videos from xvideos.com found that in the 170 videos of the Asian women category, there was much less aggression, less objectification, but also the women had less agency. However, another study found that in a sample of 172 videos from Pornhub, the 25-plus videos of the Asian/Japanese category had considerably more aggression than those of other categories. A 2002 study of internet rape sites found that among the 56 clear pictures they found, 34 had Asian women, and nearly half the sites had either an image or a text reference to an Asian woman. Findings on depictions of Asian women in pornography aren't consistent in scientific literature. The prevalence of aggression in pornography appears to be changing. A 2018 study of popular videos on Pornhub found that segments of aggression towards women are fewer now, and they have reduced gradually over the past decade, with viewers preferring content where women genuinely experience pleasure. Anti-porn. Prominent anti-pornography feminists such as Andrea Dworkin and Catherine MacKinnon argue that all pornography is demeaning to women, or that it contributes to violence against women, both in its production and in its consumption. The production of pornography, they argue, entails the physical, psychological, or economic coercion of the women who perform in it. They charge that pornography eroticizes the domination, humiliation, and coercion of women, while reinforcing sexual and cultural attitudes that are complicit in rape and sexual harassment. Other sex work exclusionary feminists have insisted that pornography presents a severely distorted image of sexual consent, and it reinforces sexual myths like women are readily available and desire to engage in sex at any time, with any man, on men's terms, and always respond positively to men's advances.
Proporn.
In contrast to the objections, other feminist scholars ranging from Betty Friedan and Kate Millett to Karen DeCrow, Wendy Kaminer, and Jamaica Kincaid have supported the right to consume pornography. The anti-porn feminist stranglehold began to loose when sex-positive feminists like Susie Bright, performers Nina Hartley, and Candida Royale affirmed the rights of women to consume and produce porn. The works of Camille Paglia established that Westerners have been pagan celebrants for long and pornography has been an inseparable part of Western culture. Wendy McElroy has noted that both feminism and pornography are mutually related, with both thriving in environments of tolerance and both repressed anytime regulations are placed on sexual expression. Societies where pornography and sexual expression is prohibited are more likely to be the places where women are often subjected to violence and sexual abuse. Women's rights are far stronger in societies with liberal attitudes to sex. Think of conservative countries such as Afghanistan, Yemen, or China, and the place of women there. And yet, anti-porn campaigners neglect such issues entirely. A recent study by the U.S. Department of Justice compared the four states that had highest broadband access and found there was a 27% decrease in rape and attempted rape, and the four with the lowest had a 53% increase over the same period. Anna Spann. Rise of feminist porn. The lesbian feminist movement of the 1980s is considered a seminal moment for the women in the porn industry as more women entered into the developmental side. This allowed women to gear porn more towards women as they knew what women wanted, both from the perspective of actresses, as well as the female audience. The movement also sparked the arrival of making lesbian porn for lesbians instead of men. This change has been considered good, as for a long time the porn industry had been directed by men for men. Furthermore, the advent of the VCR, home video, and affordable video cameras allowed for the possibility of feminist pornography. Feminist porn directors are interested in challenging representations of men and women, as well as in providing sexually empowering imagery that features many kinds of bodies. Angela White started her own production company, AWG Entertainment, in which she has complete creative control over the content, from her partners to the location, costumes, and the vibe of the video. I am a feminist, so what I create is feminist, and I produce ethical porn, which is when everything is consensual.
She said,
women are more likely to consume porn that is female-centered and feature acts such as cunnilingus. A study of pornographic videos found that when men spend more time performing cunnilingus, they have higher volumes of ejaculate, an increase in sexual arousal resulting from exposure to the vaginal secretion copulins during cunnilingus is reasoned to be the cause. Female-centric porn is mostly made by women. In these works, the initiation of sexual activity is done by the female. Porn for women is identified by factors like greater attention to sensual surroundings and soft focus camera work rather than on explicit depiction of sexual activity, making the productions more warm and humane compared to the traditional porn made for heterosexual men. If feminists define pornography, per se, as the enemy, the result will be to make a lot of women ashamed of their sexual feelings and afraid to be honest about them. And the last thing women need is more sexual shame, guilt, and hypocrisy, this time served up by feminism, Ellen Willis.
Pay rates.
Porn industry has been noted for being one of the few industries where women enjoy a power advantage in the workplace. Actresses have the power, Alec Metro, one of the men in line, ruefully noticed of the X-rated industry. A former firefighter who claimed to have lost a bid for a job to affirmative action, Metro was already divining that porn might not be the ideal career choice for escaping the forces of what he called reverse discrimination. Female performers can often dictate which male actors they will and will not work with. Porn, at least porn produced for a heterosexual audience, is one of the few contemporary occupations where the pay gap operates in the favor of women. The average actress makes 50 to 100% more money than her male counterpart. Psychological perspective. Psychologists consider pornography to be of particular relevance in the study of intimate relationships and the development of adolescent sexuality. Mainstream psychology is mostly concerned with the study of effects of pornography, while critical psychology and applied psychology is engaged in more nuanced and academic study of pornography. Problematic pornography use is assessed in clinical psychology. A 2013 study refuted the notion that porn actresses have higher rates of psychological problems than regular women. The study compared 177 porn actresses with regular women of similar age, ethnicity, and marital status, and found that the porn actresses had higher levels of self-esteem, positive feelings, social support, sexual satisfaction, and spirituality compared to the regular women. Psychoanalyst views. In analytical psychology, human sexual instincts and religious spiritual instincts are considered tightly associated with each other, with both sharing a common instinctual objective, which, as Carl Jung acknowledged, is the striving of the psyche for wholeness. The psyche of a person is understood to be differentiated as being made up of psychological traits that are feminine and masculine in nature. According to Jung, this differentiation allowed the formation of opposite polarities, which made consciousness possible. According to psychologist and author Giorgio Tricarico, as an individual moves through various life experiences, their psyche approaches wholeness or the state of non-differentiated, a realm of unified, impersonal consciousness, considered belonging to the sacred or divine. In Hindu cosmological view, the universe is weaved from the two coexisting generative principles, feminine and masculine. The goddess or Shakti, spirit, feminine principle, is the pure consciousness, the animating energy or power underlying existence. Shakti, embraced by Shiva, matter, masculine principle, both together in perpetual union form the non-dual absolute. Shiva and Shakti in a state of copulation represent the flow of erotic energy in an individual. Sigmund Freud called the feminine Shakti libido that cannot be simply repressed. Self-realization or becoming aware of the deep femininity entails dealing with a powerful sexual energy. Schools of religious thought such as the Kundalini Yoga and Tantra, which involve using sexual energy for the purpose of self-realization, had been developed in India. The concept of gender had been studied in Hinduism for long, where the conclusion was arrived that the human self, Atman, an emanation from the non-dual absolute, is androgynous and is encased in human bodies, which themselves are androgyne in the sense that every body is a compound of the feminine, spirit, and the masculine, matter, principles. Sexuality is considered a creative function of nature to reunite the two principles with the non-dual absolute. The masculine and the feminine principles of the self have been identified to the deities Shiva and Shakti, who make up the two sexual polarities. By establishing a connection between the two for the flow of erotic energy, as in the case of an electric circuit between positive and negative terminals for the flow of electric current, in one's own being, by the means of sexual stimulation. Through erotic visualization or ritual copulation, the self would divest from its material identity and realign into the bipolar being, which then represents a unit microcosm mirroring the non-dual macrocosm, thus an individual in being one with the absolute experiences bliss considered as the power of Shakti, goddess, in a tangible form. The Hindu tantric idea of the feminine and masculine principles arriving at unity in the divine feminine or the unified divine consciousness is analogous to the analytical psychology idea of coincidentia oppositorum, wherein the anima/animus of an individual unite with the spirit to become one or whole. In the Hindu tantric view, the women who participate in union rituals, thereby enabling men to attain self-realization, are regarded as Shakti or the goddess, as they are believed to embody her. Recognition of the deity in an objective woman is centered upon a man's acceptance of the subjective feminine and the primacy of her desires. Tricarico professed that modern-day pornography in its essence is a desacralized, technological, and consumerist equivalent of the ancient sacred prostitution, a custom that involved honoring of the sacred feminine and worship of the prostitutes as goddess. The feminine is believed to embody particular qualities of the sacred or divine more broadly and deeply than the masculine. Consequently, in women, the ability to incorporate non-dualistic awareness is assumed to be higher. Tricarico argued that women in porn, through their performances of many sexual acts, would inadvertently approach the non-differentiated state, an effect which he called the intimation of hierophany. Porn actresses may embody the medium to enter what used to be the realm of the sacred, he said. They have been likened to the descendants of the lost goddesses who are now offering the gift of the numinous to all through their performances, but are unacknowledged or devalued for their contributions. The use of epithets like bitch, whore, slut for sexually active women has been attributed to the denial of the subjective feminine by men. The subdued acceptance of female sexuality as a value in its own right is manifested when a man's admiration for the bitch gets subtended if she happens to be his wife or girlfriend. Along with showing admiration, lust, gratitude, and desire, men show brazen hate and disgust towards women. This behavioral dichotomy had been ascribed to the patriarchal hypocrisy embedded in men. The unconscious perception by men of the greater ability in women to reach the undifferentiated state of psyche is reason to be a cause for their intentional humiliation, willful devaluation, and deliberate belittlement of women. According to Julia Kristeva, a psychoanalyst scholar, the psychological rejection and fear of the mother figure in males is the root cause for their behaviors that seek to subjugate women. Men in their infancy live in a state of undifferentiated physical and psychic fusion with the mother, experiencing emotional exhilaration and juvenile. However, as they mature, sensing their separateness from the mother, they seek to become independent subjects and take recourse to paternal images and patriarchal behaviors with the hope of eliminating any possible further undifferentiated / psychotic fusion with the mother as they feel threatened by it. According to psychoanalyst Melanie Klein, the rejection and fear of the maternal image in females leads them to reject their own femininity. Tricarico hoped that porn becomes a place where men discard patriarchal antics, women embrace the sacred aspects, and audience incorporate porn as a joyful experience for the body, a genuine form of play that helps them approach the non-differentiated state. In being with other, we differentiate ourselves and experience juvenile whilst becoming a unit being. Religious attitudes. Many religions have long and vehemently opposed a wide range of sexual behaviors. As a result, religious people are found highly susceptible to experience great distress in their use of pornography. Religious people who use pornography tend to feel sexually ashamed. Sexual shame, which arises from a person's perception of their self in other people's mind and a negative assessment of their own sexuality, is considered a powerful factor that over time governs an individual's behavior. As sexuality is interwoven into one's personal identity, sexual shame or sexual embarrassment are found to attack the person's very sense of self. When a sexual shaming event occurs, the person attributes causation to oneself, resulting in self-condemnation, and experience feelings of sadness, loneliness, anger, unworthiness, and rejection, along with a perceived judgment of their self by others. In this mental landscape, a fear arises that one's sexual self needs to be hidden. This psychological process initiates and fuels further shame and lowers one's self-esteem. Sexual shame constricts the psychic space for free play with one's sexuality. Sexual shame in people begets more shame and leads to a cycle of powerlessness culminating in deepening negative emotions. Those who tend to feel shame easily are found to be at greater risk for depression and anxiety disorders. According to clinical psychologist Gershon Kaufman, all sexual disorders are majorly disorders of shame. The cause of attributing shame to sexuality is traced back to the biblical interpretation of nakedness being shameful. Much of the Christian mythology presented sexuality as an obstacle to be surmounted in the way of salvation. The major Abrahamic religions condemn and consider all forms of non-marital and non-reproductive sexual pleasure as unacceptable. In Hinduism, bhoga, sexual pleasure, is celebrated as a value in itself and is considered one of the two ways to nirvana, the other being the more demanding yoga. A central concept in Hinduism, Purushartha, advocates pursuit of the four main goals for happiness, dharma, virtue, artha, riches, kama, pleasure, and moksha, freedom. The pursuit of kama was elaborated by the sage Vatsyayana in his treatise Kama Sutra, which states that sexual pleasure and food are essential for the well-being of the body, and on both of them depend virtue and prosperity. Food, despite causing indigestion sometimes, would still be consumed regularly, and so it must be with pleasure, which must be pursued with caution while eliminating unwanted or harmful effects. As no one abstains from cooking food worrying about beggars who ask for it, or restrain from sowing wheat-fearing animals that destroy the crop, similarly, instructs Vatsyayana, that men and women acquire knowledge of karma by the time they reach youth and pursue it even though dangers exist, and those who become accomplished in dharma, artha, and karma would attain highest happiness in this world and hereafter. According to the Buddha, happiness is of two types, one derived from domestic life and the other from monastic life, and between the two, monastic kind is superior. As a result of the Buddha's effective advocacy for monasticism, in Buddhist communities, marriage and divorce remained civil matters and never acquired sacramental significance. Counsel over sex life for householders was minimal, while for the monks it was extensive as in Vinaya since all sexual behaviors were meant to be suppressed for the sake of enlightenment. The early Buddhist texts castigated women as detrimental beings. The Buddha himself said often that a woman's body is a vessel of impurity, full of stinking filth. It is like a rotten pit, like a toilet, with nine holes pouring all sorts of filth. Once when it came to his notice that a monk, Siddhina, transgressed celibacy with his wife for the sake of progeny, the Buddha chided him saying, "It were better for you, foolish man, that your male organ should enter the mouth of a terrible and poisonous snake, than that it should enter a woman." Per the Buddha, all sexual desires are incompatible with enlightenment. In Buddhism, people who even derive pleasure from watching others engage in sexual activity were relegated as pandaka, pusillanimous. The Buddha said sexuality is a fetter that must be evaded completely, and men who engage with it are impure and will not be freed from old age. After the Buddha died in old age, subsequent generations of Buddhists resolved their problematic attitudes toward sex by accommodating different views. According to Indonesia's foremost Islamic preacher, Abdullah Gymnastier, shame is a noble emotion commanded in the Quran and was held high by Muhammad, who had been quoted as saying faith is compiled of 70 branches. And shame is one of them. To cultivate shame in Muslims, their sexual gaze needs to be checked, as unchecked gaze is believed to be the door through which Satan enters and soils the heart. In 2006, when anti-pornography protests erupted in Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim-majority country, over the publication of the inaugural Indonesian edition of Playboy, Abdullah called for a legislation to ban pornography and embarked on a mission to shroud the state with a sense of shame, giving the slogan, "The more shameful, the more faithful." During these protests, Indonesia's foremost Islamic newspaper, Republika, published daily front-page editorials, which featured a logo of the word pornography crossed out with a red X. The Jakarta office of Playboy Indonesia was ransacked by the members of Islamic Defenders Front, Front Pembela Islam, or FPI, and bookstore owners were threatened not to sell any issue of the magazine. Consequently, in December 2008, Indonesian lawmakers signed an anti-pornography bill into law with overwhelming political support. Highly religious people are more likely to support policies against pornography such as censorship than less religious people. Ironically, regions with highly religious and conservative people were found to search for more pornography on the internet. Religious people are prone to having obsessive thoughts regarding sin and punishment by God over their pornographies, causing them to feel ashamed and perceive themselves to have pornography addiction while also suffering from OCD-related symptoms. A study of sexually active religious people found that those who are highly spiritually matured have less shame, while those who are not spiritually matured have high shame. Critical aspects. As per evaluation by medical professionals, pornography can neither be good nor bad, as it does not endorse or advocate a single set of values regarding sex. As such, individuals may introspect their own values with regards to sex while evaluating pornography. The relationship between pornography and its audience is found to be complex. While many users reported their use to have had positive effects, others, especially women, were found to be troubled with body image issues, the cause of which is attributed to the unrealistic image of beauty that pornography portrays. The increasing prevalence of alleged beauty-enhancing procedures such as breast augmentation and labiaplasty among the common populace has been attributed to the popularity of pornography. Data from pornographic websites regarding the viewing habits of people is studied by academics to analyze the sexual preferences and mating choices. More often, men look for women who have larger chests and hips with a smaller waist-hip ratio. Women are found to prefer men who are taller, stronger, appear highly masculine, and are in roles that can provide resources while being protective, CEO, doctor, athlete, lawman. Studies on harmful effects of pornography include finding any potential influence of pornography on rape, domestic violence, sexual dysfunction, difficulties with sexual relationships, and child sexual abuse. A longitudinal study had ascertained that pornography use cannot be a perpetrating factor in intimate partner violence. A 2020 study that analyzed depictions in video pornography found that normative sexual behaviors, e.g., vaginal intercourse, fellatio, were the most commonly depicted, while depictions of extreme acts of violence and rape were very rare. There is no clear evidence to assume that pornography is a cause of rape. Several studies conclude that liberalization of porn in society may be associated with decreased rates of rape and sexual violence, while others have suggested no effect or are inconclusive. No correlation has been found between pornography use and the practice of sexual consent or lack thereof. Mental health experts are divided over the issue of pornography use being a problem for people. While some literature reviews suggest pornography use can be addictive, insufficient evidence exists to draw conclusions. Scholars have stated that pornography use has no implication on public health, as it does not meet the definition of a public health crisis. Neuroscience has noted that minds of the young are in developmental stages, and exposure to emotionally charged material such as pornography would likely have an impact on them, unlike on adults, and has suggested caution while enabling potential access to such material. Opposition to pornography use has been associated to many issues with sexual satisfaction, gender violence, and marital quality. Wives watching pornography more frequently scored much better than the rest. Some issues of doxing and revenge porn had been linked to a few pornography websites. Since the mid-2010s, deepfake pornography has become an issue of concern. This was the English Wikipedia article about pornography as of December 4, 2024, narrated by AI-generated voice via the open-source software Sony Translate.